Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show, another exciting adventure, a frolic, a tremendous Trump train into the real cabal owners that control our fake free market system here in America. And again, the miners from Americans for Innovation and the conclave here at Aim for Truth have found more and more connections and have used the current interactions with Zoom and TikTok and WeChat to take a look at the usual suspects, the same people who again and again turn out to be on that list of the Committee of 300 that tend to control almost every major interaction of money in this country. So, Mike and Doug, we're here again. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Douglas.
Thank you for all this research. I love the picture of the octopus. That was good, you know. And then the list that your researchers made, amazing. When you go down that list, every criminal, every economic criminal I can think of is involved in this New Deal, which you have been researching on Zoom and the Zoom deal and the TikTok deal and the WeChat deal and all these Chinese deals. And then you find out who it is that's buying into this on a big level in the same way that the venture capitalists have done with all of the big tech IPOs. When they go out onto the stock market, those who invest a million usually make about a billion for every million invested. So we're talking about the same criminality that we see in almost all these cases, a fake cardboard cutout at the head of the company who obviously couldn't have invented anything. And then you see the same venture capitalists coming in, the same bankers, the same economic predators, and basically the inside group of, you know, if there's the Fortune 500, well, these are the Fortunate 300, and they tend to be on all the lists when we break it down. So can you tell us what it is that you have discovered and what it is that you're presenting here in terms of the revelation of the British connection to all of these type of investments?
You ask a big question. There are lots of observations, but one of them that popped out in looking at this one deal, we're talking Oracle, TikTok, which is owned by ByteDance, Zoom Video, and Walmart. Now, what Walmart's doing in there doesn't make sense on the surface until you look at these interconnecting relationships. But, you know, we've observed for a long time that these companies tend to start up in a very grand way, and they put a cardboard cutout in front of the company. And that person is not even talented in the area generally. And so the question was, why the cardboard cutout? Why are you giving that person control? Because in Zuckerberg's case, he's got over 50% of the stock on paper. And it just dawned on us, because one of the things that we've seen with these cardboard cutouts is they get hundreds of patents filed in their name. And that this person could not possibly have been involved in all those patents. And technically, that's illegal. It's called inequitable conduct. And if that person didn't really have a material contribution to the patent, their names have no business being on the patent. But that's neither here nor there, because we know that the British run our patent office, and so they can give patents to whomever they want to. But why the cardboard cutout? And then when we look at, for instance, Zuckerberg, he's got over 700 U.S. patents in his name. Now, I defy anybody to show any kind of qualification for him to have been involved in all those patents or this patent efforts. And then we see the same thing with this owner of Zoom. His name is on, I can't remember how many patents, but we're talking dozens. And no. It's like 103, I believe. So we see these names, and that's their point. That is their purpose in life, is to be the name on the front of these patents. As we've seen for over 100 years, these companies have used their financial power and their legal and accounting power to seize an industry And then in order to control that industry, they need to seize access to all of the intellectual property that they would otherwise have to license from a third party. And I think they find that annoying and pesky, and they've got to deal with inventors who they would consider not businesslike because they have different preferences. But the point here is they conceived of the cardboard cutout as a way to unify their patent efforts as they move on, and knowing that they've got full control over the cardboard cutout. So 51% or more on paper control of a company doesn't really mean much when you're the one that's actually pulling the strings behind the curtain. That's just a minor observation, by the way.
Yes, and well, we know when you say Walmart, you say Walton family. And when you say the Walton family, you know, good old Sam Walton, who I knew when he started his second store down in Harrisburg, I think it was in Arkansas, right down from our ranch. We'd go down and talk to this guy, and basically, you know, he'd say, hey, it's carte blanche. You know, the Chinese give me all the money. I want to do whatever I want. And so Walmart is China, and Hillary Clinton is on the Walton family board. She's a paid member. So every single dime you spend at Walmart goes, a little bit goes into Hillary's pocket. And so that's why she got in on this big deal, because she could see that this TikTok deal was going to, you know, expand in a huge way. 100 million people participating in it now, mostly young people. And it's funny what Trump is doing with it. We could talk about the politics of that, but just to go back to why it was that Walmart is included. But now you get to see that anybody who can muscle the way into this thing is going to try to get in. So Oracle is just like most of the Hillary companies that she supports and has been supporting, comes right out of the Highlands Forum. These are DARPA, digital warfare technology that is, it in no other way could be conceived of, whether it's the interlocking directorships or interlocking relationships or insider trading. This is industrial espionage on the highest level. And it is illegal. It's called racketeering. It's called their antitrust laws go against it. And insider trading, this is as clear as it can get. If you're sitting in all these boards and they are all interacting with each other and interacting with the banks, and the bankers are sitting there with you, then you know who's getting the money, where the money's going. You know what's coming up next, and you who's got the next government contract if it's coming out of Highlands Forum. It's completely predictable nonsense. And Trump should simply say to CFIUS, don't ever bring me another suggestion of anything connecting to China.
Well, I think the key point here is that we're only talking about four companies: Oracle, TikTok, Zoom, and Walmart, and TikTok's parent company. And then we have a chart that's 15 pages long of interactions between the principals and investors in these four companies. And we learned some time ago that Congress has been trying to get a handle on these interlocking relationships for more than 100 years. And by the soon after World War I, a lot of the people that sniffed a malodorous odor coming out of World War I started looking at these companies, these robber baron companies, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, AT&T, Marconi Wireless, Westinghouse, IBM, and what they were seeing is that these companies were all acting in concert, and when one would benefit, they would all benefit. And so they started digging and discovered these, what they called interlocking directorships, and we would expand that to not only be the directors, but also the officers or any material stakeholder in the company, which would definitely include the underwriters and the financiers and stockholders, the major stockholders. So we have these organizations that are in bed together, and they have developed over this 100 plus years a very sneaky system for running their organizations in a way where the very top layer would know how they're all interconnected. Everyone else would come to work thinking they were doing a real job. And they've developed this very sophisticated propaganda on how they can run their companies without telling their people that they're all acting illegally. That's probably their major activity. And so I think one of the things that's frightening from just a practical viewpoint is here we show in just four companies how pervasive this interlocking directorship problem is in our economy. And then what we have shown also is that you can essentially expand these relationships and these interlocks across all industry segments, whether it's education or whether it's healthcare or finance or engineering or professional services or judiciary. You see these same interlocks across the board. So one of the big picture summaries from just this discovery, Douglas, is our entire economy is corrupt to the core because of these interlocking relationships. So we say we have a free market, but in fact, what we see here is a syndicate that's running these companies, and they're paying out, quote, dividends primarily to their insiders and secondarily maybe to Main Street, if we're lucky. But the rules are all being made by a very few people centered in London with a subsidiary in New York, and they're making decisions on who gets what money throughout our economy. That is an amazing revelation.
And it becomes very clear because you made a beautiful chart showing it and connecting it to the very type of grassroots, what I call controlled market capitalism. It is not a free market capitalism. It is a controlled market capitalism, which some say has been a failure. And it's a failure because we have a $25 trillion debt in America, supposedly the home of the free market capitalism. But it is not that at all. In fact, you named it. It is a syndicate. And I would say that the capitalist old boys club is the Pilgrim Society, Strike Society, Pilgrim Syndicate. It's the Pilgrim's Syndicate. Yeah. And it all goes back to Britain and British control here in America. And then them trying to fake the world out that Britain doesn't control China or Britain doesn't control India or Britain doesn't control Russia. Nonsense. They always have. They have secret deals with them. The Germans have secret deals with the Russians. And then we still have the fake nonsense of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. So what we're seeing here is a possibility that capitalism is staring us glaringly in the face, saying, by just looking at the chart you produced on this archetypal deal, to show that it is fixed, it's rigged. The insiders get the insiders who are usually one of the Fortune 500 companies. Well, they own the Fortune 500 companies. If you look at who owns the biggest companies, it's the biggest companies. Well, hello. And then you see that their brokers and bankers sit on the same board of their companies and other companies. And then you find out that the bankers and the brokers sitting on the boards of these corporations make sure that any competition either gets bought out or destroyed. That's right. That's called antitrust violations. So we're looking at, you know, RICO antitrust, but you had pointed out something which I'd like for you to elaborate on, which is, you know, why the SEC or the FTC or the World Trade Organization doesn't notice this fraud. And I guess it goes back, they tried to call this out, as you pointed out, with the interlocking directorships and interlocking connections between board members. The Clayton Act. Can you tell us something about that and whether that's ever been effective at fighting this kind of insider syndicate trading?
Well, the Clayton Act was passed, I think, in 1914, and it was an antitrust act, followed up by the Sherman Act. And essentially it said that in order to have free markets, we can't have these interlocking relationships. And so Congress has been citing the Clayton Act ever since. And so what we have seen is that there have been, I would say, maybe four or five concerted attempts over the last 100 years in Congress to try to get these interlocking relationships exposed and then eliminated using the Clayton Act as their legal justification, which is quite strong. And wouldn't you know it, in every case where there was momentum gathering for their investigation, some major conflagration would occur. And in fact, the interlocking relationships among the bankers was set to be released in 1950. And wouldn't you know it, 2 or 3 weeks later, the Korean War had started. And therefore, the report that was at the printing press at the time never saw the light of day. And yet, we went to war with Korea, and that was a United Nations deal, which we now know as Great Britain reformed. And we have been the, America especially, has been the war tool of the British Pilgrim Society ever since 1902 to 1909. We have been their war tool. We have been the policemen. We have provided all of the military might that these pilgrims needed to make sure they could control the world.
Right in the mix of it all is the CFIUS Committee, which of course stands for the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. And it has come up many times. It came up lately in the 2016 presidential election, showing that the CFIUS Committee had passed through the Uranium One deal, which was really a deal with Russia to sell the remaining 20% of our uranium in the ground in one company to a Russian representative, literally of Putin. It the worst Russian collusion ever in history, except for when we let them bring their uranium, their used uranium, to America and use it in our own nuclear power plants. Right along, this is the same thing. And the Clintons had been doing it when they were in the White House. And before that, the Bushes were doing it. What they're doing is they sell out the British-controlled uranium rights, because Uranco is the one of the only places that enriches uranium in America. And it's not owned by Americans. It's owned by the British, principally, and the Dutch and the Germans. But the point here is that the CFIUS Committee, this committee that is supposed to look at any deals that are done outside of America where there's huge investments that affect America, they have on that committee representatives from the major committees in the House, in the Congress, in the House of Representatives, in the Senate. And those people are as crooked as can be. And it has to go through multiple committees before it gets to CFIUS. And so every single person on Capitol Hill who voted for Uranium One, selling our uranium, and Hillary got, by the way, $145 million donated to her foundation, and Bill Clinton got $200 million donated to another Clinton foundation, Clinton-Justa Foundation. This is the way that it goes. The CFIUS Committee simply stamps an illegal act as legal. And as long as everybody agrees, that means that everybody who was involved in that decision gets a piece of the pie, then it's okay. And it's going to be legal for us to sell out our uranium to the Russian communists. It's legal to sell out our most sensitive digital IP, which can spy on everybody, because the Chinese do that with every speck of everything they do. They are horrifying at it. So if you have anything to do with China, it is a spy surveillance device and targeting and basically social manipulative behavior. It manipulates behavior. So what should we do with CFIUS? Oh, it's very simple. We should take everyone who was part of the CFIUS decision on Uranium One and take everyone who was part of the decisions to sell us out to China, which again has to go through CFIUS, these big deals. And that's the reason Trump has the final word on this, whether people like it or not. If the CFIUS committee says, yes, we want to go with the TikTok or the Zoom or the WeChat or whatever Chinese deal there is, it does not matter. Only the president makes trade deals. And so he can take these recommendations. But he didn't have time to investigate all these things. That's what all the people in the subcommittees were supposed to do. They all need to be investigated. They need to have the same thing that you just did in your chart to show who is investing, see if they have vested interests that for their own economic self-aggrandizement, and then put them in jail, because this is not un-American behavior. This is anti-American behavior.
Well, this is seditious or treasonous. And that's in England, it may or may not be legal to not disclose your ethical relationships. But in America, there is a rule that says you must disclose all material relationships when you're taking public money. And I really think that's one of the ways that Main Street can cause these companies to wake up. If Main Street would start asking questions as to who are these people on our boards and do they have these interlocking relationships and have they disclosed them? And if they haven't, we need to file criminal charges against them for fraud. And you don't see that happening. You see a lot of, let's say, lemming behavior in most shareholder groups. And part of the reason for that is anyone with a large holding knows this is the way that deals are done. And therefore, they're not going to say anything. So it behooves the smaller shareholders to start doing this work and to figure this out.
What I have written on top of the audio that's going to be on the CAP report, not everybody will see this. So I want to make sure that if you only hear this audio, that you are able to go in here and access this chart. This chart is amazing. It almost shows you it's a landscape of another layer of the swamp. You know, at one layer, we have the bureaucrats, which are your senior executive service and your crown agents. And this is a layer of your transnational corporations that really have a strangle on the whole world. And it could only have been put together by the geniuses that are in your minds, Michael. It's amazing. And this is what I'd like everyone to do. If you own any shares in any of these companies, and you probably do if you have a 401k, I want you to contact the accounting office or investor relations of those companies and ask them why this information has not been disclosed to shareholders. Okay. And I want you to put that in writing too. And listen to me. Everybody needs to do this. This time when the world markets crash, we're going to let it crash on them, not us. But I need everybody out here to do their part. Then the next thing I want you to do, all right, so you've contacted investor relations. You got that squared away. Next, I want you to put in writing, I want you to find out who is the auditor that puts together the public annual report for that company. And in a minute, Michael can explain this more. You find out who those auditors are. They have an address. And in writing, I want you to put together a letter and ask why you as a shareholder have not been told about all of this interlocking directorships. And you tell them, you put the chart in there. They can copy the chart. And then you tell them that if any of your shares goes bust, you're going to sue them all for insider trading. And then you send a copy to that lard ass up there at the DOJ. Y'all know who I'm talking about.
That is brilliant. That's very good, Betsy.
Well, look, we can talk about this all day, but people need to get their butts in gear and do something. Trump is only one man. We're his army. Now, do it. If you have a 401k, you will own stock in one of these companies, Walmart, TikTok, Oracle. And then let me tell you how you fix this long term. We can't dismantle all of these companies. It would destroy the economy. But what we can do is get...
Which is what they're counting on, by the way.
Yes. But what they're not counting on is that we know what the real problem is. The problem is that they stole their foundational technology from Leader Technologies. And if we make that right by we the people, through Leader Technologies, allowing the executive office to hold the master license for all this technology, then the president's office, the executive office, can then write the secondary licenses, which tells these companies from Facebook to TikTok to Oracle to IBM Eclipse Foundation to the whole bunch of them, you better not do a damn thing to interfere with these people's Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution.
Yes, that is it's turning out to be quite an elegant solution because one of the problems you have, there's a lot of moving parts in this interlocking group. In fact, it's you could argue this is probably 50% to more of our economies worldwide. And so you're right. On the surface, you can't really knock them all down. Although I think the shareholders should start insisting that these people be held accountable and disclose these interlocking relationships, including how much money they're making off of these relationships. They wouldn't be doing it if they weren't making money, let's face it. And so there's a lot of illegal activity going on. And that's an exciting thing here, because there are very few things in life that have a unifying factor of one-to-one. And because of the history of social networking, and because of the way all these people jumped onto the bandwagon once our code was distributed throughout the world by IBM Eclipse Foundation, in all parts of the world, we have a single common point to all of these corporations, large and small, and subsidiaries, and providers, and suppliers. So what we have is a unique opportunity that we've offered to the president to say, here, put together a new user license agreement, and as Betsy said, that fulfills the intent of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and completely change the playing field. Wouldn't it be amazing if the Securities and Exchange Commission started investigating these interlocking relationships, which right now, obviously, they're ignoring and probably promoting. In fact, we know they've been promoting it. We looked into that deeply during the Facebook IPO, and that particular, I can't remember her name now, she had something like 40 different Facebook interests she was holding at the IPO of Facebook, and did not raise a finger to talk about the interlocking relationships that were going to benefit from the IPO, including her. I'm trying to think of her name now. It'll come to me in a minute.
Well, what you're describing here is fraud, racketeering, outright. So what I see is that the old age of industrial espionage, where the British stole patents from Tesla and gave them to Marconi, and then basically started a snowball down the hill that makes so much money now it controls mainstream media. It's the same exact people who did that, whose children, who are oftentimes either bankers or connected to bankers, go to right to this age. So the industrial espionage has been turned into stealing patents that then represented incredibly significant elements, huge sections of our supposed free market.
Can I give you another illustration carrying forward right from your comment about Tesla? In 1919, I didn't know this history, but a then Deputy Secretary of the Navy by the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt ordered that Radio Corporation of America would be started, and that AT&T, Western Electric, Westinghouse, and the United Fruit Company had to give them a license to all the technology that these guys had in commercializing wireless. So they created this fascist company called RCA, Radio Corporation of America, to carry forward our communications. Why? Now we know why. Because the intelligence world, created by MI6 and MI5 in 1909, had determined that the British Empire going forward had to control wireless communication and cable communication throughout the planet. And RCA was the American cooperation in that effort. So we see specifically that our future president was part of this, as he was a part of creating World War II. So there you go. That carries us right up to the present, because 10 years later, they started NBC. And we all know NBC, MSNBC, and their minions, CBS, ABC, that carries us right to today. So we don't even have to think, does this work? Of course it works. That's exactly what happened.
And it's still happening. And it's the trails that have been revealed for everybody from the research that we have been sharing together with all the people we work with demonstrate that this type of industrial espionage was planned from the beginning. It was always planned by the bankers, and it was always accompanied with intellectual property theft, patent theft, technology theft. This is what it's really all about. So as you just pointed out, the big finger should first be pointed at when they did it and how they controlled it. Intelligence, any type of communication system, anything electric, any type of media, that was the intelligence they had to get control of with their industrial espionage. And they got it all down pat. Beautifully, the British method of doing this is now being used here in America, and you've just revealed the British method. That is the British method, that and they call it the Chatham House rules. You go to meetings, you can't write anything down, you can't write anything down anybody said, and yet all the people meeting there are all interconnected, so that whatever is being said controls literally the committee of 300, the group of 300 people, like there's 300 on your list here just for one deal. So industrial espionage then became, you don't have to go and steal things from corporations. You steal them from the patent office before they even get patented. Yes. And so Serco gets first choice. The British get first choice on all American patents. All patents in America can be taken from anyone who made them based upon the designation national security. If they could be weaponized, or it might affect national security if these patents were then put into application, then they can take them and you have no recourse. Well, that is called economic espionage, because from the beginning you start stealing it where it was created and then you act like you own it. And basically those are the same economic predators that created industrial espionage.
Okay, then here's what you do. Second, once you facilitate the theft, then the government uses its power to bring in, quote, public-private partners who they select to come in and provide the technology to the government that the government's not going to actually create. So that's where you get the Oracles, the IBMs, the Walmarts of the world, getting all the cush deals, because that's in fact the way this is going to happen. And so the deal with the devil is the government's going to get all the revenue from taxes, and the corporation's going to get all the revenue from selling this technology, not only the government who is buying it from them, but also out in commerce, where once the major companies and part of these interlocks discover who's going to be the provider of this technology, they all jump on board as well. So they create this market in the New York stock market for these stocks that just roll with each other. And they know that it's underpinned by the revenue that they get from the US government. So are they that worried about in this internet world, are they that worried about actually showing revenue? Well, they do, but it's fake because it's all coming from government contracts, or a lot of it is.
Absolutely. The government contracts are the biggest things going on in America, and they're controlled by one group, Highlands Forum, and they get their IP, their patents from DARPA and InQtel stealing it, but only after the British get their version of it. And then the British make sure that any corporations or any investors are actually have British connections, and then the corporations that carry it out, and we can name all of them, but it doesn't matter. It's the same old criminals do the same old thing. So this type of fraud is so institutionalized that it's disgusting. But when we talk about a poster child for the evil corporations that we're talking about, the best that I can think of is IBM, International Business Machines. They work for the Nazis. They work for the Russian communists. They work for the Chinese communists. They work against America. Because why? International. It's not National Business Machines. It isn't an American interest. And Highlands Forum is not an American interest. It is a committee like the Chatham House Group, which is also the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and which arose from the Fabians modifying Cecil Rhodes Roundtable, into Milner's Roundtable, into the RIIA, into the Council on Foreign Relations. And so these people, they have the plan. The plan has been going on for a long time. So what we need to do is just understand the plan and then short circuit it. The IBM Eclipse Foundation gave out Leader Technologies IP under the auspices of open source. Oh, so the greatest invention of modern time in social media was given out for free from a company that is an international company, IBM, and a foundation, so it would be protected and be tax-free. And it was given to all of the social media companies for free. Open source, it's okay. It just fell from the sky like rain. Well, that's happening again. And when you do with any business with China, you have to go through the what we call the IBM Eclipse Foundation 2.0, Open Power Foundation, which is a Chinese foundation. If you do any business with China, you have to use their systems, their open source, free source code. No, that's all lies. It isn't even new. But what it is, a way to control through a total, a totalitarian communist government. So any CFIUS approval for any company using or part of, and you have to be if you're doing business with China, Open Power Foundation is an anti-American act. It is an act of racketeering, especially because you know this when you did the deal, because in the contract it states that the final decision on everything comes back to the Chinese Communist Party Central Committee. That's just the way it is, folks. And it had already taken over America through the IBM Eclipse Foundation. That's the reason that Chinese had backdoors and surveillance and everything in social media. And also through, you know, infiltrating Cisco and infiltrating and Eric Schmidt and Facebook and Milner and Breyer, all those people going to China, giving everything we have to them wholesale and thinking that they were going to turn the Chinese market into their, self-aggrandizement. But they found out that it doesn't work that way. The Chinese steal it all and then kick you out afterwards shamelessly because they are totalitarian communists. So anybody doing business with them, whether it's Zoom, WeChat, TikTok, I'm sorry, it's anti-American, it's racketeering, and it is the Pilgrims Society Syndicate.
Yeah, and what most people probably don't realize is how central Oracle is to any kind of digital strategy globally. I'm going to use a rough number. About 80% of corporate America runs on an Oracle database. And what is a database? That's where all the bits and bytes are stored. It's like very big hard drives. And so that's what's so concerning about this TikTok, Zoom, Oracle alliance, is that Oracle is where all the data is stored. But what we're seeing is they're moving more and more into retail environments, and they're essentially gobbling up everything in their path. They're like the Borg. Resistance is futile, because if Oracle wants your company, you're either going to sell it to them or you're going to be out of business. And the fact is, Oracle isn't this passive third party that's just storing your data for you. What we're seeing now is that they probably, most likely, have backdoors made for our intelligence and the British intelligence in the back ends of Oracle. And so, consequently, they can manage markets just by how the data flows or doesn't flow. And that's Oracle is one of those companies like Microsoft that when they move a little bit, it shakes the entire market. And now we see that its whole position in the marketplace is founded on such deeply ingrained interlocking relationships that these people don't even know what the truth is anymore, if they ever did.
And many of them don't look at Sergey Brin, Brin and what's the other guy's name? The Google guys. The Google guys were part of a DARPA project, and they were taking already open source code that was called Mimex, and it was already free for everybody and it was being given out by DARPA. But they said, we want you to figure out a way to do, you know, little better searches. So they did this little tiny mini project which literally took a very short period of time, and it didn't do anything much except to just Page and Brin, is that the name? So you know, it's funny that
Sergey Page, yes,
he found pages on the internet, right? So all he really did was his namesake. So he was able; those two worked together, and they got a little tiny DARPA grant, and they did a little teensy tiny bit of software writing, and then pretty soon, they're Google. And then pretty soon, the monster Eric Schmidt comes over and takes over. And then everything that was open source given out by DARPA, hello, who paid for it? We the people, the taxpayers of America paid for all of this stuff. And then it's given out to international corporations and to, I think it's disgusting that Facebook wants to say that it or any of these companies that they're actually don't pay taxes in America because they run their operations out of Luxembourg or Ireland or whatever. That's insane. That is DARPA money. That is our money. It's just like the internet. The wiring for the internet, 45% of it minimum was paid for by tax funds. So don't tell me, AT&T, that you own it. Don't tell me, Sprint or Horizon, that you own these things. You don't. These are government subsidies given to government monopolies. Now, these monopolies have infinite venture capital to buy out any competition, and that is what you see in every one of the major social media companies, and that is what Trump is going after with the antitrust, or his people are supposedly going after the antitrust for Facebook and others. Well, that's nonsense. That is such open government manipulation, starting with American dollars, tax dollars, turning it into stock market it's insider trading, and basically using our government agencies to create monopolies that aren't supposed to exist. There are antitrust laws that say that you can't do that. But in every case, just like the guy who owns Palantir said,
Peter Thiel.
Yeah, he said there's only one type of business model for social media: monopoly. And that's what they've all done. They bought out their competition with endless money, infinite money. Or you take a company like Google, who then tells everybody they're going to create a mother company from Google called Alphabet. And when they open Alphabet, it is worth more than Google was worth.
Well,
the government contracts.
These new companies, as they come online here, it's normal to see them valued at over $1 billion, which back in the day, that's not the way you started a company. But these companies have gotten such market clout because everyone knows that they've got the government contract. So that's why once the insiders know that, that's why they give them such high valuations. There's nothing about competition here.
Well, let's not forget what happened to Arthur Andersen accounting firm in the fall of Enron. You see, for some folks might not know, but these companies have to put out a public annual report and an auditor will sign off on it and say, yes, this is accurate. We did the audit. Now, I want to know, will the auditors now be signing off on these financials for these companies saying everything is free and clear when they hear from shareholders to ask for an explanation why there's so many interlocking directorships? Can you speak to that, Michael, please?
Yeah, the ethics rules for the business judgment rule are very well known. And I think one of the reasons that the larger companies spend so much money on accountants and attorneys is they have in those groups people who will figure out a way for them to do illegal things without going to jail. That is their job. And so consequently, they get quite complicated in how they address these issues. But the fact is, you as a director or a officer or major investor of over 5% have a duty to the public to explain all of your material relationships that could affect your objectivity in running this company ostensibly for the public market. But what we see is these accounting firms, they do everything they can do to protect these people so that if a question of accountability ever comes up, they've got various ways to spin it or just stall the person who finally gives up and doesn't move forward. And then we've got the regulators as well, who should be in there asking these questions and are not. So what we're seeing is that they're all bought off. And so consequently, these questions never get asked. But that's the rule. They're supposed to disclose it.
But let's think like they do. With all of this insider trading going on, not only can they make money, cover their shorts, and do all of this, they can also decide as a group to totally bust the entire economy of the world altogether all at once. So if you're holding a 401k or any investments in this, it's going to just go poof, it's going to go up. But then they are there to buy when the stock is worth a lot less, just like they did in 2008 with the housing market and what they did with the Twin Towers falling. These guys are always looking for ways to cover their shorts and make money. But we have to get the Patriots awake to say this time, make it fall on them, not us. And we demand that the auditors, the Department of Justice, look into this chart and tell us why we see so many relationships among these people.
Exactly.
The crash was because of bad auditors, Arthur Andersen and all those. They went down because everything they said about those bundled mortgages was a lie. Fantastic lies. Couldn't be any bigger lie than taking ones that weren't even gradable and marking them as
exactly.
A. You know, that's insanity. But here's what Betsy has just said, and she's absolutely right. This is no longer just fraud, insider trading. No. We are at the level where this type of economic espionage and economic predatorism and capitalism, it's so ensconced, but sorry, we need to say what it is. It is sedition. It is treason. It is anti-American. It is against America. National security issue. And how does this happen? It happens because the lawmakers are the ones allowing it, and they make laws that are illegal, like the pandemic laws. They're now being proven to be unconstitutional, which we told you from the beginning. But these laws that they make, which you've pointed that out just now, Michael, they bend the laws, they find the loopholes. The lawmakers make the loopholes so that the corporations can take advantage of them, and then when they close that loophole, they open another one. That means that the lawmakers have made our economic vulnerability so that these treasonous, seditious economic predators can act completely within the law because the laws are illegal. And
let me give you an example.
It creates a mood of lawlessness.
Let me give you a good example. One of the trends in lawmaking has been to write laws in a general way and then delegate to the department that gets the responsibility for this law to allow them to write administrative policies that will further fill out the parts of this particular law that weren't addressed by Congress.
It's the senior executive service that would be taking care of those details.
Right. So you make it vague so that all the senior executive service people in all the different agencies can write whatever policy they want on top of that law, and then everybody's doing it legally, just like you said, Douglas.
And a perfect example of that is Hillary Clinton, you know, the Sam Walton's girlfriend. And what did Hillary do when she was Secretary of State? She broke the emolument clause so many times, uranium 145 million donations from many nations that we were, in fact, that are our enemies, some of which we were in literally military conflict with. As a Secretary of State, she went there, she did deals, and then she used the $86 billion in U.S. aid through the Secretary of State as basically chumming them. Basically, those are bribes,
right,
so that her foundation could receive this money. And then she would give out loans through OPEC to her friends. And most of those are in offshore accounts or in started in places where as soon as you file there, you know that it's illegal. So all these people who are getting these fantastic loans for things that never get built, and the loans all go bad, and the money came from U.S. taxpayers, both for the State Department And also, as a Secretary of State, she can give out endless money from the Department of Defense. And she did. So she gave out more weapons and more bombs for basically a lawlessness in relationship to grab what you can. That's capitalism. This is kind of a perverted form of capitalism, which says if you're a politician or you're one of the Fortune 300 companies, you're a big broker or banker, or you go back to the English banking families, then you can act lawlessly because the lawmakers have created the opening for that. So the CFIUS committee during the time of Uranium One, all those people should be put in jail for being communists, because that's who they were supporting, not America, communism. And now any CFIUS approval that says that China can be trusted, those people need to be recalled and voted out of office, and perhaps try next time to get an honest person, because anyone from junior high school up can look at this stuff and see it clearly for what it is. But because it looks as if it's legal, like Obama writing executive order after executive order that were all illegal, unconstitutional, and complete insanity, well, they still remain. And now Trump, trying to get rid of them, is accused of being a bad person for simply following the law. So the mood of lawfulness and the rule of law is coming back into play, and all of this unlawfulness is showing its ugly face.